Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, November 1st, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and I'm joined by LaCroix Poppy himself, a.k.a. my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. Tim Ma-fucking Gettys.
There's a lot more of us now, Bless. 30 new games, 30 under 30s have been added this week.
Did you check out the list?
I did. Yeah,
Courage, did you recognize the names?
Keys. Some of them.
Okay.
Is there any in particular that you...
Well, like, when I first went through it, it was that thing of like, oh, I recognize none of these people. Am I old now? Like, am I out of date? Do I not have my ear to the ground? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, going through again, I was like, oh, wait, no, that's Courage. All right, cool. I know Courage. And then there's also Natalie Watson, who did do work for Waypoint, now does work or has been doing work for the game Immortality. So I recognized her as well. But it's that thing where I was expecting to recognize way more names than I actually did.
Oh, no, no. If you ever look at the list, it's like 90% people you would never know. It's people just getting their accolades. They're flowers, if
flowers.
You will.
Of course, they're flowers. Tim? Mm-hmm. We're not that far away from... Actually, first of all, I should point out that we're doing this episode from the lab, the streaming room, as some call it, right? Where Snowmack Mike usually comes into play, because there's stuff going on in the actual studio, right? Right now, it's being occupied. There's good
stuff.
Work being done. Really cool secret stuff happening. And so we got kicked out into over here. And so you get a rare kind of back to work from home episode with you and me, except we're in the same room. And so it's kind of weird because I can hear you talk, but I can also hear you in the Discord as well. So it's like this cool echo effect.
It's an adventure.
Cool.
We're going to have it together, Bless. Me and you, Games Daily. Some would say the best duo.
I mean, I would say that. You know, who's beating us?
I don't know.
Gary Witta is not on the show as much anymore. So, like, who the fuck else?
So who else?
So who the fuck else? Tim, what? We're a week away from the Game Awards?
Week away. Isn't that wild? I'm so stoked for this, man. Like, we were talking about this a couple days ago, but like, this year feels like there's a lot of potential because we were pretty heavy loaded in the beginning of the year and the Summer Game Fest era of showcases and announcements. And then that kind of just fell off a cliff. Like, we haven't really had the State of Plays or PlayStation showcases, Nintendo Directs, like all of that really at all this last like half of the year. So this is kind of the final hurrah for this year, but also the real preview for next year in a lot of ways. Like, we know so many more release dates for games coming out next year than I feel like we've ever previously known. Like, I know that the last couple of years have been weird with delays. So like, there has been steadily more and more releases every year that we were aware of from in that January to March area. But I'm pretty sure that this is like the most quote unquote confirmed stack first half of the next year that we've ever had. So that's exciting for Game Awards because we'll probably get updates on a lot of those games, but then also kind of get a little bit of teases of what to get for the rest of the year. Like, what's the fall going to look like? If the first half includes Breath of the Wild 2, Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. And you Starfield, I mean? Right?
And
like, Resident Evil 4 and Dead Space and Dead Island 2. Like, the list goes on in terms of games that are coming out in the spring, right? And Shinobu here says, we had our September Direct. I'm sure, yeah, the farmers enjoyed that one, right? Mm-hmm. All you people out there playing your farming games, your farming simulators out there on the field doing your work, I'm sure y'all enjoyed that. But, like, I think the Game Awards for what we can expect here, right, what can you expect next week, I'm looking forward to big things. I've been actually writing down the ideas that I've had in my head for the the predictions episode for where we're going to predict the announcements.
And next week, Gamescast will be doing exactly that.
Yeah, and like, I've been writing down as I go of just like reports, headlines, you know, things that I peep here and there on the internet to kind of like try and understand where the show is going. And when I tell you that, my Google Doc for that is painting a really great picture for the Game Awards if they're able to pull all these things together, right? If they're able to have pretty much all of what they could have there, right? Like the exciting stuff happening next year and also just rumors and all the stuff that we've heard. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, very, very excited for it.
Tim, you know what else is going to be a fun time? this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. Sure. So let's talk about today's stories, which include Nintendo speaking on Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, Jeff Keighley making some moves, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each new weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames and Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, a new Kinda Funny XCast is up right now, and it's a review of the Xbox Series X 2 years later. You can catch that right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And then also, Dead Space creator and Striking Distance Studios lead Glenn Schofield is coming to stream the Callisto Protocol with us on Twitch and YouTube this Friday, that's tomorrow, at 11 a.m. Pacific time. Come for Mike and Greg trying to survive the nightmare. Stay for the gruesome in-game deaths. Now, Tim, a little birdie told me that you had something to say about Portal.
I did. We just got a fun little invite. Look at this little box. It's Portal party time, everybody. Let's get in here. What do we got going on? There we go. All right, hold on. There is a message.
Is that a gift card? Oh, it's a message.
There is the message. Can you read it, Bless?
Oh, yeah, it says, the cake is a lie. The cake is a lie. The cake is a lie. And then the cake is a lie. But the E trails off toward the end.
Yes, exactly. As we all know, the cake is, in fact, a lie.
I don't know if Portal. I believe that. I believe in the cake.
You do? You do? Portal being released with RTX. Really exciting. So to celebrate that, we are helping them throw a Portal party. So here we go. There's the cake. Beautiful. Beautiful.
I've been told that this cake is a lie.
So here we go.
It looks real to me, damn it. He's turning it around. You're invited to the Portal party. You're invited to the Portal with RTX launch party. Tune in to twitch.tv/NVIDIA on December 6th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Oh, you could win a GeForce RTX, what was that, 4000? 4090. Oh, snap.
And you can wishlist the game on Steam today, but you can go to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to watch that next on December 6th at 10 a.m. because we're hosting it, baby. We're hosting. It's going to be fun. And then after that, Andy's going to play through Portal for the very first time with RTX and all the fun stuff. So
wait, Andy's never played through Portal
Andy
before?
Cortez has never played through Portal.
That's messed up.
I know. We're about to change it. We're about to fix that. So anyway, next week, exciting stuff ahead.
Heck yeah. Well, thank you to our Patreon producers, Delaney Twining, 1UP Pest Control, Gwinnett, Brian Cheney, Alex Greedle, Jason L., Mick at the Nanobiologist, Abramson, Derek Gregg, Donald Eccles, and Jason L. Today we're brought to you by Chime, Shady Rays, and Mint Mobile, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 7 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with story number 1. Nintendo speaks up about Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet's first post-launch patch has arrived, alongside a promise from Nintendo to take the game's tech problems seriously. Patch notes released on Nintendo's website for version 1.1.0 of Pokemon Scarlet and Violet say that the broken music during the Elite Four and Top Champion battles has now been fixed, alongside a vague confirmation that, quote, other secret bug fixes have been made, end quote. The patch, available now, also kicks off Season 1 of Ranked Battles. Nintendo also committed to improving the performance of the first open-world Pokemon games and apologized for the various issues that are present in the launch versions. Quote, we are aware that players may encounter issues that affect the game's performance, Nintendo said. Quote, our goal is always to give players a positive experience with our games, and we apologize for the inconvenience. We take the feedback from players seriously and are working on improvements to the games, end quote. Tim, I'm sure you saw the tweet go out yesterday from Nintendo, where they said this. And am I crazy in saying that tweet read with an ominous tone?
I don't say an ominous tone as much as I would say that Nintendo speaks up about Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is an inaccurate headline while also being entirely accurate. Yes, they did. But also, they didn't. Like, really, it's like, cool, we're going to fix a little bit of the music, and then the clear problem that everyone's talking about with the RNG battle stuff, we're going to fix that. Like we talked about a couple days ago, bless, on the show, where it's like, we expect them to do that. But we're aware that players may encounter issues that affect the game's performance. Our goal, it's like, all right, what's that actually going to mean? Like, what are we going to get from that? Because I don't really believe that the problems can be fixed.
I don't think so.
I feel like some of the things can be, but I feel like a lot of it is just inherent to just how much is in the game and how much it just is not capable of running. Like, I will be utterly shocked if the problems that I have with this game are fixed, technically.
See, I think there's amount of stuff you can do, but also I think you're right in terms of this game is never going to be pristine from a technical level, right? This game's not going to run at all the frames per second that you want it to. It's not going to be flawless, right? I think by the time you would get to that point as Game Freak and Nintendo, you're already releasing the next Pokemon game, right? I think it'll take that long to actually get there. But yeah. I do think you can polish it up. I do think that you can fix a large handful of bugs that are present in the game right now, right? Like, I think there's stuff you can do there to gain back that goodwill with the audience. I think there's stuff you can do in terms of maybe getting the performance just a little bit better in the frame rate, because I think that is one of the very consistent things. I think, of course, they're going to fix the battle, the online battle system, especially now that ranked battles are kicking off season one, right? Like, you'd want that to be up to par by the time that starts. I think there's things you can do, and I even see Nintendo saying, hey, like, we take feedback from players seriously and are working on improvements to the games, right? Like, I think for me, that's enough for an understanding of we're doing something. Like, we're not going to let this slide. Like, this isn't even okay with how we view our own standards of how we put out our games.
I don't get that vibe, man. I don't know. Really? We'll see. Maybe I've been beat down for generations when it comes to Nintendo and how they do things, and then the Pokemon company. I don't believe that these things are going to actually be fixed. A little bit here and a little bit there, these patches, yes, sure. I don't think there's going to be like the one patch to save them all. I do not think the Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is going to be a No Man's Sky situation or even a Cyberpunk 2077 situation. I think that it is what it is, and it'll have minor improvements over time, but like, I will be shocked if this game runs at a 30 frames per second, even kind of consistently by the end of the day.
Yeah. It's the interesting thing where I don't think it's going to hit the No Man's Sky level either, or like a Cyberpunk level in terms of we fixed all this shit, right? I do think that there is an amount they can do that'll be like, all right, cool, we got it. Like, it's good enough, right? I think good enough could be there, especially for what the experience has been with Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, which it's been varied, right? Like, my experience playing Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, in my review, I pointed out mainly the frame rate and the overall performance in terms of this game just isn't consistent. I didn't really get bugs that much, right? Like, I got a crash. I got, like, two crashes, right? But then I talked to you, and you got, like, eight crashes in your time by that time of talking to you, right? I look online, and it's like, here are all these different bugs that are happening in other people's games that are out there. I think that's stuff you can fix, right? I think you can maybe prevent crashes. I think you can fix up bugs. If the end product ends up being like the version of the game that I got lucky enough to have in my 30 something hours playing, which was like, yeah, mainly just framey, you know, I think that could be a good place to have that game.
Well, I have a question for you though about like defining bugs and defining these technical problems. Cause like, I love this game. And like, the more I play it, the higher up my game of the year list it goes. Like, I am super, super into this thing, and it is giving me so much joy despite all of these issues that I feel are just rampant in this game. Mm-hmm. And I understand where you're coming from of like, oh, it didn't really affect you too much. Honestly, it didn't affect me too much. I enjoyed the hell out of it, right? Mm-hmm. But when I say affect, right?
I mostly mean like you getting bugs and you getting like,
but like
crazy.
But let's
shit
define bugs here. So like okay. Pokemon just kind of being half in the ground, half out the ground, or just randomly floating.
Shit like
just,
that. Like, you know,
you didn't get that?
No.
I simply can't believe it. The way the camera moves,
I got a weird camera shit, but that was mainly like, oh man, I wish I could zoom out the camera more. I wasn't getting stuff. Like, I've seen videos online of like people characters stretching out of control and Pokemon being in the ground and shit. I'm like, I didn't get that shit. I mainly got bad performance.
Yeah, I didn't get too much of like the weird crazy stretchy, like, oh my god, this is a bug that is like the most ridiculous thing ever. It's more like the game majority of the time looks like when you're playing Mario 64 and you're messing around with the camera and you get in an awkward place where like you're kind of inside of Mario and like you're like there's jaggies everywhere and things are just popping up in ways they shouldn't be. Like, that is this game just entirely. And I feel like that's unfixable. Like, I would, I want to see what your game looks like and, like, just see what we're experiencing.
I think that's, like, the stuff that I categorize more as performance more rather than, because when I'm talking about bugs, I am talking about, like, things behaving the way that they're definitely not supposed to, right? Yeah. I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, like, characters doing, like, the stop motion-y walking stuff in the distance because they're just not, like, the game doesn't have the ability to render stuff that well, right? Like, that stuff I chalk up to performance, and that is the stuff that I did get. When I'm talking about bugs, I am talking about, like, Pokemon being halfway in the ground. I am talking about, like, characters not being there or, like, just weird shit where it's like, oh, this is a programming error. Like, something went wrong here, as opposed to, like, oh, no, they just couldn't get the juice out of this.
Yeah, so then in that case, like, I'm talking about performance strictly, and okay. I do not think that Nintendo is going to
and I feel that. Yeah, that I agree with you with.
Because it's just, it's everywhere. And that framey, weird, everything on the screen's moving at a different frames per second that we kind of loved in Kirby. Like, that's the funniest thing, Bless. Remember when we were talking, like, we were praising Kirby for using it as part of its art style, where characters in the background, the Waddle Dees, would look like they're at, like, half of the frame rate that the rest of things are, and it kind of created this fun, almost tilt-shifty vibe that fit with the art style. In Pokemon, it seems like a necessity for them to do it, and it seems random of background and foreground characters, and characters will just walk into the battle that you're having, because all the battles happen in the real world, and then just disappear, and then they pop up right in your face like a jump scare, and they're, like, moving at the wrong frames per second. It is just so off-putting, and that is the stuff that I just don't think that they can fix. And they will not. It's not worth the efforts to, it'd be a totally different game at that point.
I want to bring in a question from Nano, who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, hey y'all, Nintendo has spoken out on the issues with Pokemon and that they're going to address them. But is this more a glaring omission from Nintendo regarding theirs and Pokemon Company's push for these games? In other words, does this point to an issue within Nintendo in their testing of games before they release them, or is this solely on Pokemon Company with Nintendo doing PR cleanup? Could this be a sign that we will see a market improvement for the next year, for the next major Pokemon release, whenever that may be? Thanks, Nanobiologist.
No.
I like my immediate response, right, in terms of the part of the question where you mentioned, right, like, Is this more a glaring omission from Nintendo regarding theirs and Pokemon's? Does this point to an issue within Nintendo in their testing of games? I don't think this is a testing of games issue whatsoever. I don't think there's anybody at Game Freak that looks at the videos of this game online and went, oh, we missed that. Like, oh, shit, we didn't know that the game doesn't have great frame rate and the game doesn't, you know, perform beautifully. Like, nobody at Game Freak is surprised by this. I don't think this is a testing issue. I don't think this is a failure from a QA issue. I think it is more so we had to push this game out. Like, I think it's that. I think it's we didn't have the capability to put a game out of this scope without having all these bugs and errors in it, right? Like, I think it's more so the way in which they're releasing the game, not necessarily an indictment on, like, their QA team or an indictment on, like, the fact that they missed these bugs or anything like that.
Plus, earlier you said something that, like, we've said a million times specifically about Nintendo, which is good enough is good enough. That is the goal for them, is putting out a good product, because they know that the great and amazing qualities speak very loudly when everything else is good enough. And I think that Nintendo and Pokemon Company look at this game and they're like, this is good enough. And everyone out there can decide if they agree or not. I think that it is not good enough in terms of, like, the technical side of things, but I also I understand that Nintendo does. And I'm like, all right, cool. I guess that's where I'm meeting you here. See, because
I don't know if I agree. Like, I don't know if Nintendo looks at this game. I think Nintendo putting out a statement, knowing Nintendo and knowing how they view their own products, I think they do view this as somewhat shameful. I think they do view this as, like, oh man, like, they got us here. Like, this doesn't run up to par as it should for a Nintendo product. I think there is some element there. And I would even say that, like, you know, in terms of the good enough idea, this is what, the worst running Nintendo game that I can think of in many years. Like, it's hard for me to, like, think of a game coming out from Nintendo first party or even Game Freak. I know Pokemon games aren't always the best, like, running from a technical level. Pokemon Sword and Shield had its problems in the wild area. Pokemon Legends Arceus had frame rate stuff as well. But, like, even those games, I'd say, run better than this. I think this is another level that Nintendo has to identify as, okay, we can't let this happen again.
Yeah, I mean, I totally disagree. I don't think this is a statement. I think that this is a line that was in patch notes released. Like, a statement would have them putting out a cyberpunk style yellow image with text
Nintendo's
on it.
Nintendo's never going to do that.
That's a statement, though. This isn't a statement. This is just part of patch notes saying, like, hey, there's problems, and we're going to work on some of them, and we're not going to work on others. Like, I just feel like you're so right. Nintendo in history has never had a game run this poorly. And Pokemon Company has never had a game nearly this ambitious. This combined all the ambitious ideas of the last couple games, whether it was Legends or Sword and Shield or Let's Go. All those things together into this thing that at the end of the day works really well as a concept. It does not work really well technically, given the power of the Switch hardware, given the annualization, if not even more, of the Pokemon games. Like, there's so much shit with, to them, they look at this and they're like, it is what it is. I do not expect this to be fixed much. And I think that the best hope is for DLC for this to come in and be designed differently. So make people be like, oh, look, this is what this game could be next time, and then we'll get the next game.
It's not gonna be that though. It's gonna be more. It's just gonna be like added story content and added Pokemon. And like, honestly, I'm down for that, right? Like,
oh, I'm so down.
The wild thing is that this game is still a game that we're having a fucking blast with, and like, it's gonna be. I think it's probably gonna be in both of our top tens for the year, right? Because
it's gonna be my top five.
Like, that's how fun this game is, right? I think like, it's just a weird situation with this damn game where I think by the time we're past it, and hopefully with the next one. Hopefully it runs better, right? Hopefully they're like, fuck, we can't do that again. Fingers crossed. And by the time we get to that point, if the game is the level of quality in terms of what this game is bringing in content, and also it runs up to par, and maybe, I don't know, hopefully we'll get a Switch Pro by that point, man, we'll be living in a perfect world.
I hope so, man. I hope so. But I'm just going to say, this is not the first time that a large amount of people were upset about something Pokemon did, and then they didn't do shit to fix it.
Wait, which are you referencing something specific?
I mean, the whole Dexit situation of like the Sword and Shield not having all the Pokemon all that.
That's not as bad as this though. I feel like this is egregious compared to the Dexit stuff. Cause like the Dexit stuff, how much is that on like Pokemon Company versus like fan expectation? I mean, this is the first one where I'm like, oh man, they really fucked up.
Yeah.
But
we'll see. We'll see. I'm hopeful they fix this shit.
I'm hopeful to some level too, Tim. Story number two. Summer Game Fest returns. This comes from a press release. Today, Summer Game Fest, the global fan celebration of what's next in video games, announced it'll return for the fourth year with a spectacular live kickoff show on Thursday, June 8th, 2023. For the first time, Summer Game Fest world premieres, live gameplay demos, and announcements will take place in front of a live audience of fans at the state-of-the-art YouTube Theater at Hollywood Park in Inglewood, California, and stream live around the world across all major streaming platforms, including Twitch and YouTube. Tickets to attend Summer Game Fest 2023 will be available to purchase in early 2023. Quote, over the past 3 years, Summer Game Fest has cultivated an incredible community around the world through our digital-first events, and we're thrilled to invite thousands of fans to experience the Summer Game Fest show in person for the first time in 2023, said Jeff Keighley, curator and host Summer Games Fest. He continues, quote, in keeping with tradition, we'll have tons of exciting announcements from the developers that are pushing the games industry forward. And we'll once again highlight other publisher digital events, demos, and more surprises to be announced in coming months, end quote. The full lineup of Summer Game Fest 2023 participants and activities will be announced in the new year. In the meantime, video game fans can tune in to the Game Awards live on December 8th, 2022 across more than 40 different digital video platforms, including YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok Live. And for the first time ever, Instagram Live. Hell yeah, Instagram Live. We did it, Tim. We did it. For more information and to stay up to date on the latest, stay tuned for more information. Tim, they're back.
They're back, bigger and better than ever. I hope this is super awesome. The YouTube Theater is a fantastic space, state of the art, very damn cool. The amount of things that they potentially could do there, including housing thousands of people. This is going to be the first time that we're actually seeing this show get a live audience like that, something that we've seen before, obviously, with Game Awards and with Opening Night Live. But the Summer Game Fest, that summer show, having a big live thousands of people in a room reacting to what's happening on stage, pretty cool. I think it's going to kind of change the format of the show pretty dramatically, I would say, compared to what we've gotten in the last couple of years that I think is a way, way, way more curated video wall interacting with the whoever's on stage and all that stuff type situation. So Excited for Jeff to keep pushing this. I love that he's continuing to own the year in terms of all the showcases. And I'm hopeful that Summer Game Fest, the kickoff event, has a banger. And I hope that it's soon, because I feel like that we got the Elden Ring reveal, not reveal, but like, you know, blowout, whatever you want to call it, 2 years ago. And like, that was a great end. And then last year's, I was not the biggest fan of, but I'm hoping that we can get some energy going and maintain the momentum going forward. But again, 2023 is about to be insane for video games. So, very excited to see what ends up happening.
I'm looking at my phone because I'm trying to pull up my calendar. It's that tough thing of not being on my own computer, so I'm not logged into my Google, so I can't just pull up my Google calendar. I'm looking toward June, right, to figure out, you know, Thursday, June 8th. That seems about the right time for Summer Game Fest. That lines up with how they've done in the past. My question is, where does this put E3? Because E3 is supposed to come back too. Now they're both physical, in-person events, right? Is E3, what, the week after?
I mean, I would hope it's the same week. I feel like the way that these things can work best is having synergy and working together in some way.
But they don't want to do that, though, right?
I mean, it doesn't matter. Like there's what do they want out of this? Like, if the game journalists are going to be there, they're going to be there, right? So it's like having more things for people to do is only going to benefit. And it's like, who doesn't want it, Jeff or E3? At this point, who's bigger? I would potentially argue it's Jeff. So E3 would want to just be like, oh, yeah, we're with y'all. You know what I mean? Mm. You're going to bring the people here. We might as well use them, right? And it benefits everybody. But I would bet that they're going to be really close to each other.
Yeah. I would think that, they're going to be really close to each other. I wonder what that does in terms of a few things. I think for us as press, how we go about covering two events that are of this magnitude, that are that close to each other, I would hope that they work together. I don't have faith that they're going to work together, just because it seems like there's beef there between Jeff and E3, right? Jeff, of course, used to do Judges Week for E3, spun off, did his own thing. It is now directly competing with E3. Seems like he's trying to kill E3 from how Jeff is operating, right? That said, right, like if it is what Summer Game Fest is Thursday, June 8th, and let's say E3 starts like the next day and goes into the weekend into the next week, does that mean that we as press are going to be in LA for a whole week? Does that mean gaming companies that are showing off their games are going to be doing that whole week of content? Because that feels like a twice as long E3 at that point.
I mean, well, we really need to ask ourselves, what are these things? What is Summer Game Fest? What is E3? Because for years, we would talk about E3 as if it was this week-long event, when E3 was actually just 3 days in a conference center, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas we talked about E3 as the press conferences that Sony, Nintendo, and Xbox, and Ubisoft, and Square sometimes would put on. But that didn't actually have to do with E3. It was just during the week of E3 and surrounding E3, right? So Summer Game Fest last year was the first time there was actually an event. We were there, right? Mm-hmm. They did the digital kickoff event where that was the showcase, and then we got to be in that room for 2 days, right? Demoing all the games. I imagine that there's just going to be a handful of these press conferences or showcases, whatever we have. We know that we're getting one for Summer Game Fest. What are we getting from E3? And then from the big dogs, what are they going to do? Like, we got an Xbox One last year. Will we this year? We didn't get PlayStation. We didn't get Nintendo. We didn't get Ubisoft. last year was weird when it came to this. So it's like, I don't know. And then what does E3 do? Does E3 just do their version of the Keighley thing, which, like, I'm going to be honest, I don't think it's going to be that great.
No.
And that's the biggest problem, is that we end up getting two of these things that both have stuff, because one showcase would have been great, but instead they're pulling it apart. But even then, I'd be okay with it if it was just, hey, here's these two showcases that everything's in, and then the rest of it is just events that are demo the games in person. And in that case, those events could be happening at the same time. Like, it could be 3 days where there's two different places, Tuesday through Thursday, that media can go play games or whatever. You add on the public side of things, and that totally changes the game as well.
Of course. And it seems like, I mean, E3 is also doing their public thing, right? That's been in their latest talks of what their vision for future E3 is. And it's going to make a lot of this interesting. You know, I'm very curious to see how this plays out, both in terms of how they play together, but then also in terms of how they compete with each other. Because now I think for the first time, E3 has legitimate competition, and they're competing. As we get further on, they're starting to compete in a similar space, right? Where both of them are doing public-facing events, both of them are partnering with publishers and game companies. Both of them are, you know, trying to reach out to the press. I wonder what happens when both of them are doing that all these same things in the same week span. But we'll have to wait and see. I'm excited for June. I'm excited for that.
Oh my God, it's going to be freaking awesome.
For now, let's keep talking about Jeff Keighley. Story number three, Valve will give away a free Steam Deck every minute during the Game Awards. This is Sean Hollister at The Verge. One more reason to watch the Game Awards this year. Valve has announced it'll give away a Steam Deck handheld gaming PC every single minute on December 8th. It's the highest during the Game Awards, I should add. Not just on the day. It's the highest end model with 512 gigabytes of solid-state storage and the anti-glare screen. And all you have to do to win is sign into Steam here on December 8th and watch the show at Steam.tv or at Steam's 2022 The Game Awards page. Well, you do also have to be living in the US, UK, Canada, or the EU. The system will also be out in Japan, South Korea, Hong Kong, and Taiwan in late December, but not in time for the giveaway. And you have to have made a purchase on Steam between 12 a.m. GMT on November 14th, 2021, and 11:59 p.m. GMT on November 14th, 2022, to qualify. Tim, you're going to try and get one of these? Actually, let me do the math, right?
Yeah.
I forget how long Game Awards is. Let's say it's 3 hours.
There's about 180 of these things being given out.
Yeah, if it's 3 hours, that's 180.
That's pretty impressive, man.
That's a lot of Steam Decks.
That's a whole lot of Steam Decks, man. That's cool.
You're trying to enter? You're gonna try and win a Steam Deck?
You know, I'm pretty, like, I'm waiting on the Steam Deck until there's an OLED screen. That's the Tim Gettys way.
Mm.
I might be waiting a while.
You might be waiting a while. Wait, does the high-end one not have an OLED screen?
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That is.
I mean, you just get a free one from the giveaway and just, like, use it until they put out the new one.
Save it, sell it. Got the OLED. You're right.
Oh, right. Not save it and sell it.
You heard it here first, everybody.
No, use it, have fun with it, and then when they release the OLED, use that one. Because, like, let me tell you, the Steam Deck's changed my life, Tim.
Deck Boys,
and that's not an over exaggeration.
Yeah,
it's legitimately changed the way I game.
That's great. I'm so happy for you and for everybody. Like, I love that so many people have become like Steam players now. Like, you get, like, I hear it.
This
could
be you.
When codes are coming through and people are like, I want VC. And I'm like, damn.
Let me get that Steam. Let me get that Steam version.
It's changed. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Story number four. Once again, speaking of the Game Awards, Tekken 8 will reportedly be shown at the Game Awards. This is Chris Golian at Video Games Chronicle. Tekken 8 will make an appearance at the Game Awards, it's been reported. Twitch streamer, Avoiding the Puddle, tweeted a photo of what appears to be promotional merchandise for the game. The package includes a t-shirt with the Tekken 8 logo on it, as well as a message suggesting that the game will be shown at the Game Awards. The message simply reads, quote, tune into the Game Awards live stream, end quote, and includes a link to the Game Awards Twitch channel and a reminder of its December 8th date. Tekken 8 was officially announced in September during a PlayStation State of Play live stream. The reveal video showed gameplay footage of Jin fighting Kazuya on the side of a volcano. Footage that Tekken boss Katsuhiro Harada stressed was running in real time. Quote, we are very excited to show the next generation of Tekken, Harada said at the time. Once again, this is one of the ones where I was like, man, this Game Awards about to be a banger Game Awards.
Dude, that's the thing, man. And, you know, people like never give credit to seeing games that we've seen before at things because, like, oh, it's not new announcements.
We've seen it before.
Like, dude, we're about to get, hopefully, like Tekken 8, like actual real shit, not just the reveal trailer, right? Like, that's exciting. Already, this Game Awards is shaping up to be, like, good content. And then, cool, if there's exciting announcements on top, that's what takes it to that S-tier level, right? The stuff that we want to see, we hope for. But I think this is fantastic. That trailer looked great. Tekken's super rad. I got a dope-ass Tekken 2 bomber jacket, bless, that's on the way.
Oh.
Decided to rock that shit.
Oh.
But, yeah, this is cool. Really excited for it. I'm also excited for the idea, the concept, the hope, bless, that next year, we get Mortal Kombat 12, whatever the fuck. We get Street Fighter 6.
Mm-hmm.
We get Tekken 8.
Mm.
Maybe we get Project L.
Oh. See, and that's hope right there. That's,
we have
that's
a fighting
what
game.
They call
fight.
It opium.
I mean, I'm just throwing Project L in that even just like to really spice things up.
Yeah.
But like, yo, that'd the fighting crazy. Game community is about to be eaten next year.
I think my prediction is that we get 2 and 2. I think we get 2 fighting games next year, one of them in Street Fighter 6, and then 2 of them in 2024. I was putting, and I still put Tekken 8 in the 2024 camp, But us getting the reveal at State of Play not too long ago and now getting it again at Game Awards makes me wonder if it's sooner than later, because this is a pretty quick cadence for back-to-back reveals. That said, right, like, I wouldn't mind them taking their time with it. If next year ends up with us getting Street Fighter VI, which I think that is a for sure lock at this point, and then let's say Mortal Kombat, because NetherRealm, it's been a while. I would expect that they have some in the pot to, like, you know, give us. If next year is those two games, oh yeah, just hold off Project L and Tekken 8 for 2024 and let that be that year. Because, like, those two, any two of these four games right now, if those come out in the same year, we're eaten. Like, those are fire. Like, any of those four pickings are fire, right? I want them to spread the love a little bit. But I can't wait to see, like, what they reveal for this Tekken 8 thing, right? Like, you know, we just got in that original reveal, we got the running in engine footage that they claim is real-time in-game footage. And, like, at first I didn't believe them, but yeah, looking back at it, I was like, nah, I can see it, I guess. I want to see more of what that gameplay looks like. I want to see how good it looks, because Tekken 7 at this point is fairly old. It was a while ago that game came out, so that's that. The franchise is due for some technical improvements. I'm curious to see what the story looks like. Like who's throwing who into a volcano this time, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I want to see what that looks like, and also just the character reveals. I think that's one of the more exciting things about fighting games is, all right, who's back this time around? Who's coming back? Who's new? Right, what is their special thing? I loved seeing Lucky Chloe as a newcomer in Tekken 7, because she's a breakdancer that wears headphones, and, like, she's real cool to him. And I was like, man, that's my character, and to this day, I still play as Lucky Chloe. Who's going to be my next Lucky Chloe? Who's going to be my next character that I fucking love? Who's going to be the character that's doing backflips that I choose and everybody's going to be mad at me for? Let me know. Harada.
Flip it up, dude. Flip away, Bless.
Flip away. Tim, ladies and gentlemen out there, could flip over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can go and get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode. This holiday season, the best deal in wireless can only be found at Mint Mobile. Right now, when you switch to Mint Mobile and buy any 3-month plan, you'll get another 3 months for free. Mint Mobile lets you order and activate from home with eSIM while saving tons on phone plans starting at just $15 a month. I've had my mom using Mint Mobile long before this holiday deal, and I have to say, now is the perfect time to switch. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and switch easily and effortlessly with eSIM. Or if you need a new device for a limited time, get 6 months of free service when you buy a select device and plan. For a limited time, buy any 3-month Mint Mobile plan and get 3 more months free by going to mintmobile.com/kindoffunny. That's mintmobile.com/kindoffunny. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/kindoffunny. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? I don't think so. At Chime, that's exactly what they do. With their secure Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start to build credit with your own money. Their members see an increase of 30 points on average. So start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Games. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank, N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact to score may vary and some user scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply except at MoneyPass ATMs at 7-Eleven or any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. So again, start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Look how cool I look. You too can look this cool without breaking the bank this holiday season. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 shades for a fraction of the price and a fraction of that price during their biggest Black Friday sale ever. The best part about Shady Rays is their insane protection program featuring lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Dropped in the lake, off a cliff, anything. If you get the wrong style for yourself or someone else, no need to worry. Avoid the hassle and the forced thank yous with free 30-day exchanges and returns. You will either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. Act now for the best Black Friday selection. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades.
Tim, let's switch gears and talk about story number five. We've got some new Last of Us HBO posters. This comes from Logan Plant at IGN. With less than 2 months to go until the premiere of HBO's The Last of Us adaptation, we're getting a closer look at most of the show's prominent characters. HBO released posters for 11 of the show's characters, including Joel, Ellie, Marlene, Tommy, Tess, Bill, Sam, Frank, Henry, Riley, and Sarah. What a roster of characters they got for The Last of Us.
Dude, absolutely wild. I mean, 2 months away from this, that's crazy. Look at all of these. The fact that they are showing off all of these characters and they look this great.
This fantastic.
Oh, man. I just love how much character is in these character posters. Right? Like, a lot of the times, I feel like there's been a trend recently with TV shows.
Wait for you guys.
What's up?
Do you want me to just keep clip?
No, we can go through one by one in a sec.
Okay.
But, like, there's been this trend with a lot of the streaming shows to put out character posters, like, as episodes are rolling on throughout the season.
Yeah.
So Disney Plus does it a lot with their Star Wars and Marvel shows. I love that with Last of Us, they're just like, here's everybody.
Here's everybody.
Right? And again, it's
because we already know. We know who these people are. These are
know.
Who we identify with.
Yeah, and it's cool that I mean, I guess it's not everybody. Like, unless it is, I don't know. Maybe we don't know how far the season's going to go into the story of the game. So
they're not going to get into Last of Us Part Two.
No. But I'm even talking about like David's not here. You know.
Oh wait, is he not? Wait.
No, we got. So let's go one by one.
Yeah,
got Joel, Pedro Pascal.
Oh, yeah, David's not here.
Like, damn.
David should be a surprise though. Don't give me a David character poster.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. So, yeah, we got my guy, Pedro, as Joel.
And just absolutely crushing. Like, this looks perfect. Like, this just looks like the best cosplay ever. But 100%. It's real.
Keep going.
And then, yeah, same thing Ellie. Here. Bella Ramsey is Ellie, crushing it. Can't wait to see her perform. Can't wait to see how different it is than what we're used to from Troy and Ashley. And then next up we got... is that the one next? Yeah, here we go. Marlene.
Which, honestly, it's funny because I actually didn't tab through every single one of these before the show, so I'm seeing some of these for the first time. And I'm looking at this through the Discord window that's, like, minimized a little bit and also very pixely. And so, like, I'm looking at this image and I'm like, is this not just Marlene? Like, oh, thank you, Kevin. That actually helped out a lot. Oh, hell yeah. This is a great Marlene.
I mean, yeah, it's just like you were saying this, but like this kind of almost looks like a screen grab.
Yeah.
You know, this is damn, they're remastering Last of Us again this soon.
Damn, another remaster. I'm down for it.
Next up, we have Gabriel Luna. Gabriel.
That's Tommy. Luna.
That's Tommy. Come on, nice. Dude. Pedro Pascal's brother. Yes. This is awesome.
I didn't realize that. Well, but unless you're not in the show. Gotcha. Yeah.
No, just like
for a second, I was like, they got his real brother to play.
No,
this
no,
crazy.
No. And then, yeah, we got Tess here.
Yes.
Perfect.
Nick Offerman is Bill.
God. That,
he looks almost too good. Like, he's making Bill look a bit cool, which I don't like. Like, Bill isn't supposed to be this cool. But Nick Offerman looking great, though. Nick Offerman doing his damn thing.
Yeah. And then next up, I didn't expect him to show these off this early, but getting Sam and then
Sam and his brother. His
brother later, which is interesting.
Sam and Henry. We got Frank, who is Frank Bill's partner? I forget who Frank is. Or is Frank somebody else?
Yeah, I think you must be right. Because, yeah, I when I was looking at these, I didn't remember who Frank was. So.
Yeah, I think because that was one of the things that they were talking about. Game. It's for the first time they're like, yeah, Frank's actually going to be a character that like you get to talk to. Because in the game, he's just like a story, right? Like Bill references him and you read notes from Frank, but you don't actually meet him in the game.
Awesome. Yeah, and then Henry.
I love in chat somebody was like, bless, what do you mean Bill is goated? Bill is goated? What do you mean Bill is goated? You just learned what goated means yesterday. And you want to use it in a sentence. Get the fuck out of here. Bill is goated.
Oh, I love it. Oh, but I mean, dude, freaking Riley.
Riley and Sarah. Yeah, Riley looks incredible.
Dude, Storm Reed is dope as hell. First off, shout out to Euphoria.
Shout out to Storm Reed. Shout out to Euphoria.
Shout out to the movie Searching that came out a couple years ago. John Cho directed it, and it was so cool. It was a movie about a girl that went missing, and the entire movie, it's like, you know how found footage movies are all like using camera angles and stuff, like actual like handheld cameras, and it's cutting between that, yeah, like security footage and whatever. This movie, the entire thing was on screen. So it's people like using their FaceTime or using like the desktop and like clicking through folders to try to find this girl. They're putting out a sequel movie, spiritual successor sequel movie, early next year, starring her, called Missing. Cool. And I'm really excited for that.
Funny enough, like, of course, the carousel in the background, reference to what goes on in Left Behind, which is really cool. Also a reference, though, to what happens in Euphoria, Tim.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Oh, shit. Wow.
Yeah.
HBO, yeah. They're getting incestuous.
Here we got Sarah. Love it.
Yeah.
Again, like, I can't wait for this. I'm also like, I'm already sad from the idea of what's gonna happen. What's gonna happen to this poor girl in episode one? Episode one's gonna hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. Oh my god. It's gonna hit a lot of people. Like that's the thing, man. Like we all know and we're prepared. And like even though we're prepared, we ain't ready. And if we ain't ready, the world isn't ready. Oh, they are not ready for what's about to go down.
I do want to shout out, I even finished the article here. The handful of characters featured in the posters are all from the 2013 video game to some extent, although characters like Bill's partner Frank never actually appear on screen. We also know the show will include two brand new characters named Marlin and Florence. Did we know that? Because I didn't know that. Who the fuck is Marlin and Florence?
Marlin.
Can you imagine being like, I'm saying this as if we're playing as Joel in this game. You're hanging out with Pedro Pascal as Joel. He's doing Joel things, stabbing people in the throat, fucking throwing people down ditches. He's doing what Joel does.
Joel things.
And he runs into a guy and he's like, "Hi, I'm Marlin. Get the fuck out of here, Marlin. Bill's more goated than you. Like, get the fuck out of here."
Marlin and Marlene and Florence and the Machine. That's all I got for you today.
That was good. That was good. I like that. That was really good. Story number 6, Twitch is implementing its own panic button safety feature. This is Ash Parrish at The Verge. Today, Twitch announced it's implementing actually, hold on. Before I read this, somebody mentioned Troy and Ashley for sure. And honestly, I didn't think about that. So Troy and Ashley are appearing in this game. I believe that was they confirmed that before, but we don't know who their characters are. Marlin and Florence, like, if that's Troy and Ashley, oh, man, I kind of believe it. I'm going to choose to believe it for now. Back to the story. Today, Twitch announced it's implementing a new safety feature that might feel familiar to streamers who battle against the hate raids that plagued the platform last year. Called Shield Mode, the new feature enacts an emergency lockdown of a creator's stream. Quote, Shield Mode is a little different from our other safety tools, Twitch said in an announcement. Quote, while it does introduce some entirely new capabilities, its real power comes from the way it combines and levels up existing safety tools in one place, end quote. Shield Mode seems similar to the community-developed Panic Button, which was devised to combat the surge in hate raids that took place last year. With Shield Mode, streamers and their mods can choose settings that will mass ban chatters using a specific word or phrase, or prohibit first-time chatters from speaking at all. Then, when the harassment wave is over, Shield Mode can be deactivated, returning the stream to its previous settings. One of the interesting features in Twitch's announcement of Shield Mode is that it recognizes and calls out the stressful balancing act marginalized streamers face when it comes to safety on the platform. Twitch's current safety tools, like phone verified chat, and its more mundane features like subscriber or follower-only mode, are great at protecting creators from malicious attacks like hate raids or spam, but have an adverse effect on a channel's ability to grow. Twitch says Shield Mode is unique in that it'll allow streamers to temporarily beef up their security with the touch of a button, and with the same touch of a button, return things to normal when the harassment wave passes. Cool.
I mean, fantastic. You know, like, I truly believe, I mean, I know so many people that work at Twitch, and I know how much they care, and I know how much this shit really bothers them and hurts when these horrible things are happening and it seems like nothing is actually changing. But it's like, you can see even the tone of what they're saying here of like, while it does introduce some entirely new capabilities, its real power comes from the way it combines and levels up existing safety tools in one place. It's like, yo, we are trying. We actually care about this. And it might seem like we don't oftentimes, but like we are trying our best. I do think that this is evidence of that. I think that this is great to be able to combine all those things into a super easy, simple way to be able to combat this disgusting behavior. And this has been, you know, overdue, I guess, but also I'm happy it's here. And I love that they are promoting this the way that they are. Like, this is something that they are taking seriously, and they think that this matters to talk about and not just kind of just be a feature that they like kind of like, oh yeah, I guess it's here too. It's like they're putting it front and center and letting people know, like, this is a big update and like this matters.
Yeah, and I like that it's a feature for a specific scenario, right? And like it is like a bummer that it this is rolling out like a year and a half past like when hate raids were really like becoming a thing. And I know for some people they're probably still an issue, but I do like that it's here. I do like that they're doing work to figure out more features to help their creators actually feel safe on Twitch. And yeah, like I like how like I like that this feature has targeted use, right? Hey, for this specific scenario in the hate raids, which like, you know, probably blindsided a lot of people probably even at Twitch, right? Of like, ah, shit, people are using our platform this way to throw hate at creators in this specific way, right? Like they're invading their chat and like fucking just spewing hate shit. Oh man, how do we deal with this? Finding a way to give people a feature for that specific scenario so that it isn't the thing of, all right, I'm just gonna turn off chat and like now like I'm gonna turn off like or go into subscriber only mode or whatever, right? Like a lot of that stuff is a bummer to do. One, because it does distract you from your stream and does make you have to like, you know, play defense for like a minute. And then also it does prohibit growth to some extent, right? Like as a streamer, you want chat to be there. You want it back and forth with your audience. You don't want that to be interrupted because somebody has bullshit to say about your race or whatever it is, right? And so I do like that they're rolling out this feature that seems very specific to, hey, press a button, wave done, press it back, and you're back to settings. You don't have to worry about like and initializing all these different things and like, you know, trying to wrangle up your mods to like, you know, play defense and all that stuff. And so totally. Good on you, Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Final news story, story number 7. A former Zelda director is working on an open world dress up RPG. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Former The Legend of Zelda director Kentaro Tominaga is working on an open world dress up RPG called Infinity Nikki. Let me say that again. Infinity Nikki. As reported by Kotaku, Tominaga is leading the game at developer Paper Games after working as a designer on The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and as director of its expansion pass. Infinity Nikki has an almost Disney mixed with anime aesthetic and a core gameplay loop of exploring a colorful open world full of puzzles and platforming. Protagonist Nikki can change outfits.
Here we go!
Let's go.
Yo, wait though!
Dude, I'm...
Hold on. Plus, have you seen this?
Yes, I've seen it. It looks incredible. Protagonist Nikki can change outfits to perform different abilities and tasks, and as a reveal trailer shows, this will include the likes of fishing, cooking, and catching bugs. Quote, join Momo and Nikki as they embark on a new adventure collecting various pieces of clothing, solving puzzles, and uncovering secret areas in the world, the announcement post reads. Dress for the occasion and equip different outfits to gain access to abilities such as fishing, insect collecting, and floating. The Nikki franchise began on mobile with Nikki Up to You, a dressing story as a much simpler 2D dress-up game, and has since gone on to span 3 further titles all on mobile. This will change with Infinity Nikki, however, which is confirmed for PS4, PS5, and PC, alongside Android and iOS devices. No release date or window has been shared so far. Tim, as you're watching this trailer, what are your first thoughts?
I don't know that I've ever been on this much of a roller coaster with the trailer where I'm like, oh, this looks cool. Oh, I'm out. Oh, I'm in. Yeah. Like, what? Seeing the character design, I was like, I'm not into this. Yeah. And then her jumping and then in air transforming into the different outfit with the different abilities. I was questioning what an open world dress up RPG is. And they delivered. They delivered ridiculously well here. Look at her. Here she is changing into her
fishing.
You know, dressing up has been a big part of JRPGs for a long time. I mean, think back to the different classes, even of like the original Final Fantasy and all that, right? Mm. Final Fantasy X-2, an underrated classic. I'm going to fucking say it, everybody. All right. It's damn good. And that entire game was just dressing up and using the dress spheres to change your classes and do all this stuff. This being more of like an action-y looking game, like more of a Zelda type action adventure. I love it. This looks awesome.
Yeah, and like they brought in a former designer from Breath of the Wild to like lead development on this game. I was gonna say Barrett. Kevin, if you're able to pull up and at the bottom of that article, I have the link to like Nikki Up to You, which is the first game in the Nikki franchise for the dress up games. What's funny is that when I describe this game as like a dress up, also I didn't realize you turned giant. I didn't get this far in the trailer. Holy cow, this is
that's an X.
And these are like basically Koroks. These are like the Kokos from Sonic, actually. These are like the Kokos.
And I'm getting Keenan Bridges Spirits vibes, which, by the way, I was thinking about Ember Lab recently. When are they going to announce the next game?
When are they going to show us the next game? Kana was so good. We don't talk about Kana enough.
We don't, dude. We really don't. It is like, I know it's an 8 out of 10, and I know we don't like to talk about 8 out of 10s. You know what I mean? We're either swimming in 7s or we're excited for a 10. 9s get the pass, but there's something about an 8 out of 10 that we just don't
see. Especially a really great 8, because Nick Kana was a really great 8.
Great 8, everybody.
Right here is the Nikki Up To You game, right? Which is like a mobile game that came out years ago. That was like the original Nikki game. That is like just an Android, you know, dress up your character type of game.
I hate how this image looks stretched and skewed in every way humanly possible.
Yeah, they did the weird thing where they try, because they uploaded it to YouTube and they wanted to keep it 1080 resolution or whatever. They like put an unfocused version of the same video in the background, so it just looks weird.
Super stretched.
The background's stretched, but the gameplay looks like skewed. Like it looks thinner than it should.
I don't think so. I think it's just meant for like a it's record off a phone, right? Like could be.
Well, I know, but like look at the font on the like that's not great looking. I'm saying it's just bad design choices.
But that might be the game also. Yeah. The game might just not be a great game.
That's my point. Look at this watch video free whatever. It's like this shit is like condensed.
It's funny because I don't.
It's a big jump for these guys.
Yeah, that's the thing is like we don't really talk about.
Holy shit.
That's a fucking wild.
Like this game looks
jump.
Incredible. Like I'm interested in playing this game.
And it started off with that mobile game. That's the thing is on our side of the industry we don't talk about like the mobile dress up, customize your character games that much because those aren't our bag. And I think our audience cares more about like the console stuff and like the PC stuff and not as much as like the dress up games. But they're very popular. Like if you talk to your friends, like I was talking to Roger about like stuff that Lianza plays and he's like, oh yeah, she loves, I forget the name of the game. So like there are games like that she loves. I have a friend who works on a game Episode. And Episode is like a very popular dress up your character game. I talk to her about it all the time. She's like, yeah, dude, a lot of people play this game. And I didn't know what Nikki Up To You was. But like I saw somebody tweeting about it the other day. Oh, and they're talking about how like, dude, there's a lot of lore to this game that is centered around just dressing up your characters, right? And customization. There's a lot of lore in it.
Her ship is a giant origami crane, and
I loved it. Holy shit.
Hey man. You get it, Nikki.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me a lot of? Megan, the upcoming movie of the year, 2023.
I thought you were making a Nicki Minaj, Megan Thee Stallion reference. And no. I was like, I want to see where Tim was going with this. And then you reminded me of that fucking trailer that I watched before. What was it? Wakanda Forever, maybe?
God, so good.
Wakanda Forever or Megan?
I mean, both.
Wakanda Forever,
trailer.
Fire.
Megan trailer.
The Megan trailer had me dying laughing.
That's how you make a trailer, guys.
That's it.
You're right. Like it's a fantastic trailer, mm-hmm. but also just like I just didn't know how to comprehend it as it was happening. One of the creepiest things I've ever seen in my life.
Without a doubt, that movie's not going to be good, right? Like
no, dude. There's. I have doubt.
You think the movie's going to be good?
No, I'm saying that there's a chance. No. When you look at the people involved in it, yeah, there's a chance. They know what they're doing.
Who's the director? James Wan? Is that?
No.
No. Who is it? James?
I forget, but.
It's someone cool, right?
Wrong says I'm watching that movie tomorrow. How are you watching it tomorrow?
Yeah, what's up with
that? When
does
that movie come out?
I thought it was next year.
I mean, while we're on the topic of early movie screenings, Puss in Boots got the review embargo up yesterday.
Bro, you trying to go or what's up? Oh, man, that movie's out January 5th, apparently.
Wait, Megan?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Well, yeah, January 5th. Like, that makes sense.
Oh,
but how's he
January
watching it tomorrow?
5th. You're right. I thought
well, that's what I was going to take with Puss in Boots because that movie comes out in like 3 weeks or something like that. But people have already seen that thing and reviewed it and compared it to Logan and shit. And now I got
to
watch Puss in Boots because I want to know.
Are you trying to go to a screener or what?
Oh, I mean, yeah, if you can get access to a screener, I'll go to a screener.
Man, I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? I got you.
Oh, hell yeah. Tim, mm-hmm. I'm so excited to go see Puss in Boots with the Kinda
Funny
Squad.
James Wan wrote it. Story by. That's what it was.
I'm also excited to possibly see Megan when that comes out in theaters in 2023. Yeah. But the release of Puss in Boots and Megan are just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grab shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show every weekday.
Dude, I'm not even going to do it. to say about this, Tim.
Yeah. I don't know either.
How many times did we have to tell Kevin that I'm the one hosting? That I do the jingle?
I fucked up. I like, I looked up and I was like, oh, that's the, there's the button. There's the button.
The button.
You fucking once, all right? As everything
it's the fact
exploded,
that we
okay?
went through this before
right.
the show.
I've had a hell
Kevin,
of a morning. I had to
Kevin.
Rush in there to fix everything. God,
Kevin asking Tim, hey, like, do you know how do we know if I do the jingle? Oh man, I might have to do some work to do the jingle. And Tim's like, no, Blessing is hosting. Blessing is hosting. And I thought we made it. Today, we got Eastward for Xbox Series X and Xbox One. Inscription for Switch. That's a must-play. Go play Inscription. New Joe and Mac. Caveman Ninja for PS5, PS4, Switch, and PC. The Walking Dead.
No. I'm out.
Is it the idea of the Caveman Ninja?
I refuse to be here, Bless, in this room. And hearing him laugh like that next to
me.
And then also. Oh!
He muted me.
What the hell? I just got jabbed. I got punched. I got struck.
By Kevin?
Stricken. By Kevin, yeah. I don't even know what's happening at this point.
Yeah, you're no longer muted, Bless. It was just while you were talking shit. It was just while you were talking shit.
God, I hate this guy. Bring back Barrett. He's out today. Out today. He's very much alive. He's just busy in the other room. Eastward is out today for Xbox Series X and Xbox One. Inscription is out today for Switch. Go play Inscription. It's a must play. That's what I said before when I was muted. New Joe and Mac Caveman Ninja is out today
Bless,
for
just
PS5.
To be clear, you were only muted while you're talking shit about me playing the music.
Okay. New Joe and Mac Caveman Ninja is out today for PS5, PS4, Switch, and PC. That's what I thought Kevin was originally laughing about, the idea of a Caveman Ninja, because that is inherently really funny.
Yeah.
A Caveman Ninja? How do you learn about ninjutsu?
How did you learn about ninjutsu?
It's a caveman. They didn't have that back then.
I mean, you don't know how old ninja is.
You don't know how old ninja is.
Ninjutsu.
We also got what else is out today? Fuck, I lost count. WRC Generations for Switch, Romancing Saga, Minstrel Song, Remaster for PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, and Mobile. Project Downfall for PC, Munchkin Digital. Munchkin Digital.
Okay.
That's out in early access for PC. Predecessor's out in early access for PC. Moonshine Inc. is out for PC. Dwarven Skykeep for PC. Elevator Action.
Hold on.
Return. Returns. Which one? Is it Elevator Action?
No,
or is it Munchkin Digital?
I'm looking ahead to the next one that you're going to read.
Okay.
And I need you to prepare yourself.
I don't think I'm going to survive the rest of this episode, Tim. I'm going to be honest. Elevator Action Return S Tribute for PC, PS4, Switch, and Xbox One. I Am Jesus Christ Prologue for PC. Is this a banana situation, Kevin? Did you add that there?
No. Wait, like, Jesus Christ. We've talked about this game, right?
I Am Jesus Christ Prologue?
Yeah.
You know what? I think we have. I remember seeing gameplay. Because this is the one where you play as Jesus.
Yep.
Luke 1:1, it says in the corner of the video.
The awakening of Jesus.
Why does
Hold
it
on.
Look like Skyrim?
Yeah, wait, go back to the beginning of this trailer. Because for a second, it looked like Infinity Mimi or whatever that was called.
No, Infinity Mickey. It's nowhere near as pretty.
I love how the quest that you're on is called The Awakening of Jesus here.
Oh.
Is that
AJ Brun in the chat says, I played it. Spoiler, you fight Satan early on.
No way. That's a lie. You're lying.
Oh, he's
Holy
got the force.
Shit.
Wow, this looks... Is this a Skyrim mod? Does this start off as a Skyrim mod? Because this has big Skyrim vibes to it. Did you say the Force? Is that what you said, Kevin?
I mean, he just picked up a log. What do you call that? Oh, shit, he can do the thing.
I feel like that's part of the gifts of the spirit.
I don't think telekinesis was one of Jesus' powers, right? Oh, wine manager. You're going to put that dude out of business for sure, right? Oh, shit, he's got fireballs.
Okay, there's no way that this is biblical. Like, there's no way that this is...
There's no way this is biblical.
This is not canon. This is not canon. Like, the stuff that's happening here.
Oh. He's healing. He's
They've
healing.
Gone too far.
He's healing. He's all
They've gone too far.
Inside of Ananias, maybe?
Maybe Unreal Engine shouldn't be so widely available, is where I'm at right now. All right, let's take it back. Epic, start charging for it. New Joe and Mac came. Oh, you did that one. Tetris the Grandmaster is out today for PS4 and Switch.
God.
And then Fall Guys Sunken Secrets is out now, featuring characters from SpongeBob SquarePants. New days for you. Shredders is coming to PS5 on December 6th. That's a snowbike mic joint that he loves. Neon White comes to PS5 and PS4 on December 13th. That's
cool.
A kind of funny joint that we all love. Yeah. Let's fucking go. And then this comes from at Street Fighter on Twitter. Prepare for closed beta test number 2 for Street Fighter 6 from December 16th through the 19th on PS5, Xbox, and Steam. You're getting 8 characters, online matches, crossplay, input delay reduction feature, and some tweaks. Get hyped for that. Deal of the day for you. This comes from Wario64. Coming to Game Pass today, we're getting Eastward, Walking Dead, the final season, and totally reliable delivery service. On December 6th, we're getting LEGO Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga, and Hello Neighbor 2. December 8th, we're getting Chained Echoes and Metal Hellsinger. On December 13th, we're getting High on Life and Poisoncraft. Then on the 15th, we're getting Hot Wheels Unleashed Game of the Year Edition.
Game of the Year Edition. Y'all did it, Bless. Remember when me and you saw that game for the first time? We're like, yo, this actually looks pretty damn great. And now here we are, a Game of the Year Edition. Anything can be Game of the Year if you believe enough and have your own character.
This isn't as egregious as Far Cry 6 trying to claim that somebody gave them Game of the Year, all right? At least for Hot Wheels Unleashed, I can kind of believe it. The game's pretty good. And also, we get Rainbow Billy on December 15th.
Great.
What a day, December 15th.
What a day.
Tim, it is time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong. Oh, my God. I'm signed out. I don't have access to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Hold on. You write and let us know what we got wrong. If you got it wrong, we can correct it. For those watching later on YouTube, what's my password? And listening later on podcast services around the globe. It's going to ask me to confirm. Oh, nope, I got in.
Hell yeah. What we get wrong, Bless.
Somebody says, it's December, Kev. You forgot the Christmas intro. Do you not see where we're at right now? We barely got here. We were 10 minutes late for the show today. Cut us some fucking slack, Jordan Vickers.
Damn, that really hurts. I'm not going to lie. That really hurts. It is December 1st. Fuck. And that's the kind of thing I like to have ready.
Did I say November 1st? No, today's December 1st.
You said
December. Yeah, but like at the top of the show, somebody said that.
Oh, you said November 1st?
Yeah, I might have said November 1st.
That's crazy.
That sounds believable. I might have said that.
Wow.
It's wild. Might be the craziest thing I've heard.
The amount of people that started the episode and then clicked off because they're like, oh, man, there's a whole episode, and then didn't listen to the rest of the thing. Our reviews are going to tank for this one.
I definitely don't have the Christmas intro on this computer.
Oh, Marlene's actress is actually Merle Dandridge, who played her in the games also. According to Shia.
Yeah. They announced that long, long time ago when they first were talking about the series. That's very cool.
Ignacio Rojas writes in and says, for Kevin, cavemen predate ninjutsu by about 40,000 years.
He doesn't know that. He thinks that. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't know it. It's impossible to know that sort of thing.
Wait. Kabob writes in and says, Blessing is right that in that he knows. He says, Jesus Christ Prologue isn't canon. The word canon originally referred to which texts were considered part of the full Bible. Is that true? Like, did I just loop that all around? Where canon originally came from us talking about which books counted in the Bible, and then we started using it for, like, comic books, and then...
I think it might also have to do with the Canaanites.
Tim?
How
do you feel?
I don't know what Canaanites are, but you didn't say canon earlier.
Bless you do, right?
I don't want to reveal that I wasn't paying attention in Sunday school.
Damn, for reals, bro? Oh, dude.
I think I missed the chapter on the Canaanites. And I did mention canon earlier, yeah, Tim.
You did not mention canon earlier. And I know that
really?
Because I loved what you said.
No, he
you
did.
Said, this isn't, no, he said this isn't biblical.
Oh,
oh yeah, but no, right after that, while we were laughing, I did say that. Oh, it's also not.
That
is
canon. So funny.
Jesus wasn't doing all that in
you
the
don't
New
think
Testament.
He launched a his hands.
Jesus Christ had dreads, so shake him.
That is true. He did have dreads, so you gotta shake him. And with that, tomorrow's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Day, they're gonna be Tim and me once again. That's right, you're getting us two buffoons. But we're gonna be in the actual studio this time, I think.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Don't quote me on that.
You know, who knows?
Just if you're watching this live there. Right now, after this, is Fortnite with Kev, Joey, and Roger. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com. So it's kind of funny games.
Don't leave.
There's definitely like a gas leak, I think, in this room somehow. Like, I think that's the energy today. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames and Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.